prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free. Truth Revolution. I am Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff.
Where faith and reason meet.
That's right.
That's what this show is all about.
And we are from Revolution Church.
So yes, we are.
If you happen to saunter by Revolution Church while we're having church, hop on in.
I want to know who saunters in this day and age.
I saunter every once in a while.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see that. But nevertheless, it's true. If you are sauntering, skipping, running, jumping, or fleeing the police by Revolution Church, feel free to stop in.
Great. Aiding and abetting.
So, well, if you're fleeing the police, maybe you should either turn yourself in or continue to flee
there
on by.
Go.
But just for the moment, we do want you to come in no matter what.
Right. And if we sound kind of funny today, it's because we're both kind of under the weather.
Isn't it? So if you're wondering, who are the two new hosts of Truth Revolution?
It's still us.
It's just Dave and Jeff minus their normal voices.
Right.
So, we are going to answer a Bible contradiction today.
Right.
We believe the Bible is inerrant, and we aren't scared to examine that belief.
That's right. You know, and we found errors in the Bible. But
Sure. We found discrepancies, things like that. But we think there's answers to them. We still think the Bible is inerrant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how that works, you're going to have to listen to our past shows. You're going to have to listen to what we have to say. But, you know, we're just here. We want people to get to know God better. And we want to know the truth. So, hey, if there's a problem with the Bible, show us. We want to see it.
Right. Because, honestly, we're seeking all the time.
That's right.
You know, and you don't need to stop seeking. If you stop seeking, then you will stop finding.
Supposedly, they found the missing link in evolution.
Yeah,
that's
supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Next week, we're going to have on a guest, Dr. Fuzz Rana, to talk about that.
I love Dr. Rana.
He's been on our show before. He is awesome.
He's fun.
Intelligent mm-hmm. man there. So, did they find the missing link? What's that all about? Is it something we should be scared of? Or not something we should be scared of?
I'm going to say no.
But we also got a listener question this week about the ontological argument, and that will make your brain do something like...
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, kind of like that.
You know? Backflips and front flips and explosions.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks for listening today. We are getting back into our show. We're doing the final three reasons God doesn't exist.
Right.
We did an article. We've been reviewing an article over the last 3 weeks, 10 reasons why God doesn't exist. The top 10 reasons I don't believe in God by Greta Christina.
Right. And we did a cardinal sin for radio. We did not read this article before we decided to dive into it.
Except it wasn't a sin, it was on purpose.
Right. It's just something that you shouldn't do, but we did this on purpose just to prove that, you know,
you don't have to be a genius,
right,
researched deeply to know answers to questions.
Right.
We're going to read this article as we go today. We're going to read it for the first time, these last three mm-hmm. questions. And hey, you know what? What would be an appropriate response just off the cuff?
Right.
So let's just get into this. Her question number 8. We've done 1 through 7. Question number 8. She says, slipperiness of religious and spiritual beliefs.
Right. And, you know, the overall theme of this whole series has been that whole... You keep on saying that word. I don't think you know what that word means. I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Right. In other words, every time an objection is posed to Christianity, we want to ask the question, does that actually prove Christianity wrong?
Right.
Does it actually mean Jesus didn't rise from the dead or that God doesn't exist? That's the main question when someone raises an objection.
Right.
And so we're going to ask that question.
All right. Well, she says, not all religious and spiritual beliefs make testable claims.
Okay.
Many of them have a more saved if we do, saved if we don't quality. If things go the believer's way, it's a sign of God's grace and intervention. If they don't, then God moves in mysterious ways, and maybe he has a lesson to teach that we don't understand. It's not up to us to question his will. No matter what happens, it can be twisted to prove that the belief is right. Right? And she says, that is a sure sign of a bad argument.
Well, I think she's absolutely right.
I don't disagree with that.
That is
at all
a sure sign of a bad argument.
Mm-hmm.
If we're trying to prove that God exists because of an answered prayer, if we're trying to prove to a non-believer that God exists because of an answered prayer or a lack of an answered prayer, if a non-believer comes to me and says, hey, I noticed you prayed for something and God didn't answer that. What do you say? I don't say, well, you should believe because God answered in a mysterious way.
Right.
That's not a very good reason to believe. God didn't answer a prayer, so believe. Well, no. So she's making a good point that, like, that's a sure sign of a bad argument. And it would be a bad argument if that was our reason to believe in God.
Right.
But that is not our reason to believe in God. Right. Our reason to believe in God rests on Jesus Christ. Look, I'm sometimes a fairly simple guy. If someone says, I'm God, they do miracles, they die, and they come back to life 3 days later, I'm going to take that dude seriously.
Right.
Especially if he fulfilled prophecies that said he was going to be the Messiah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take that serious. And that's what Jesus did. So I take that seriously. And so we base our belief in God and Jesus upon the evidence of Jesus' resurrection and the testimony of the prophets.
Right.
Not on, well, you just don't understand God's mysterious ways. Believe in him no matter what.
Right. Here's the whole thing. And the thing that she's kind of done throughout the entire list is basically she's making claims on other people's claims rather than looking at evidence.
For instance, she's saying the Christian makes a claim like this, and that claim is a bad reason to believe in God.
Right.
But Christians aren't saying that's why you should believe in God.
Right.
Right. Because we'll say all day long, sometimes God does move in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't understand what God is doing. I'll say that all day long. That's fine.
Right. And that's the truth.
But that's not why you believe in God.
Right.
And so that's actually a fairly simple answer. She says it's a slippery belief, a slipperiness of religion. Mm-hmm. And I would say that is something you have in religion once you establish the belief in God. And once you know God exists, and that is a proven fact, then when God does something you don't understand, then you have to say God works in mysterious ways.
Right.
But she's saying, well, she doesn't know if God exists. And that's fine. We use Jesus' resurrection. We use the teleological argument, cosmological argument, other things to show that God does exist. Right. So that's her answer for number 8. You know what, Dave? I feel like jumping in and doing a Bible contradiction right off the bat today. Is that okay with you?
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible Contradiction today is brought to you by the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Oh, good. I like
that. Yeah, the friendly neighborhood atheists. All right, check it out. Are we all sinners or are we not?
Neighborhood atheists.
Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one.
Maybe one?
Yeah, one. But that's, you know. That's,
no, not even one.
Hey. Yeah, that's what I said. Not even one. All right.
See, I'm giving them a better Bible contradiction than what they came up with, I bet.
Yeah, that actually kind of is. Anyway, this is all verses goes up against Job 1:1.
Okay.
In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. The man was blameless and upright.
All right,
he
blameless.
Feared God and shunned evil.
Okay.
Luke 1:6. This is speaking of Zechariah and Elizabeth, parents of John the Baptist. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God,
righteous,
observing all the Lord's commandments and decrees blamelessly.
Okay, so were people sinners or were there blameless people?
It looks like there's a couple here that were blameless. And
Zechariah, Elizabeth,
sinners.
Job, they were blameless.
Mm-hmm.
So was Job, were Zach, was Elizabeth, were they all blameless? Well, first, we use our CRACK acronym to solve Bible contradictions. And the C in CRACK, the second C, stands for credibility. Give the Bible some credit, brother. You gotta read it carefully. Just read it. When you read it about in Luke about Zach and Elizabeth, it's not talking about their whole lives. It's talking about that moment.
Mm-hmm.
It says, hey, they were observing the Lord's commands, like right then. But even if it was talking about their whole life, like it appears Job was. Let's give the Bible a little credit here. Let's also use our D in the CRACK acronym, which stands for dialect. You know, what's the dialect? What type of language are they using here? And the writer was using a very common literary device known as amplification.
Okay.
Amplification is when you say something and you make it a little bit more grandiose. You amplify it to make your point very clear.
So saying Job was a good guy, a really, really good guy.
Yeah, instead of saying in the land of Uz, there was a man whose name was Job. And Job usually did what was right, although he's a sinner just like everybody else, but really he did more right than he did wrong. And going into this lengthy explanation, right, it just says, dude, okay, he was blameless and upright, right? You get the point?
That doesn't,
like, he was a really, really good guy, although we all know already, he's taken for granted, that he's at least sinned once, because every single person has this once, but other than those at least one or two times that he has sinned, he's a really good guy.
That would make a bad literary device there.
That would be a really bad way to explain it literarily. Yes. Okay, the Bible doesn't do that. It's using a literary device, amplification. It says, hey, these people, they're really good. They're blameless.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean they're perfect. We know they're not. And also the A in our cracked acronym stands for author's intent. What is the intent of the author? We always have to ask that question.
Right.
When the book of Job was written, was the intent of the author to show that Job had no sin? Or was the intent of the author to show, hey, Job's a really good guy and bad things are going to happen anyway?
Right. I think the latter is true there.
Exactly. In the book of Luke, was Luke trying to show that, okay, I'm writing a book about Zach and Elizabeth, and my point is that they are perfect and they were not sinners?
No, Zachariah and Elizabeth was just kind of like a little blip on the map there, a stopping point, just to kind of explain something that comes in the future.
Exactly. His intention was to show, hey, these are really good people, but I'm getting on to my main point. So you have to ask, what was the intent of the author? What was the dialect? And it becomes really clear. This isn't a contradiction. They're just trying to explain these were really decent people without going into big, long explanations about the difference between righteousness, perfection, and decency.
Bible contradiction.
All right, so we can still say that everybody has sinned except for one.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
That's right. And that, I mean, they would say that's a contradiction probably.
Right, totally.
And, but we would say the same thing. What was the author's intent? Was his intent to say everyone sinned, including Jesus? No, his intent was clearly to say except for Jesus. I mean, Romans 3:23, we don't even have it on our paper here, but it says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But it even continues, if you read in like Romans 6, it'll tell you the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, and explains that he was the perfect sacrifice. So I'm not going to get into all that right now, but really,
that's a whole other show.
Well, you know, the whole point of the entire Bible is to point back to Jesus, mm-hmm. to help us build our lives on him, and trusting that although we're not perfect, he was. And so, you know, that's why we trust Jesus. He was the perfect sacrifice. He lived out the type of life we should live. That's why we try to emulate him and follow him and obey him. And most of all, why we fall down and say, Jesus, forgive me because I am not perfect.
Amen. He was the perfection for us.
Yeah, that's right. All right, on to question number 9.
Question number 9, and this one kind of cracks me up.
This is the reason why God does not exist.
The failure of religion to improve or clarify over time. Hey, what? It's the new and improved Christianity.
Version 2.0.
Version 2.0. That's a crazy claim right there. I mean, just because...
What do you mean?
Well, because, you know, if Christianity is true at the point when Christianity came about... When Jesus was raised from the dead and made everything right there at that moment true, then why would there be any need to expound on that?
Okay, I get what you're saying. Okay, well, she says the failure of religion to improve or clarify over time. Over the years and decades and centuries, our understanding of the physical world has grown and clarified by a ridiculous amount. Mm-hmm. Okay. She says our understanding of the supernatural world is in the same place it's always been. Hundreds and indeed thousands of sects squabbling over which sacred texts and spiritual intuitions are the right ones. We haven't come to any consensus about which religion best understands the supernatural world. Okay, here's the deal.
Okay.
We always try to ask the question, if she's right, or if this objection is right, does that mean there's no God? Or does that mean Jesus didn't rise from the dead? If it is true that there are hundreds of thousands of sects squabbling over which sacred texts are true.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean there is no God?
I would say it does not.
No, that does not mean there's no God. If God's real, and if Jesus really rose from the dead, it is still possible for there to be hundreds of different religions. Mm-hmm. Why haven't we all come to one conclusion? Because not everybody loves the actual God. Not everybody loves Jesus, and we'll get a little bit more into that further later. But that's a really quick answer. I want to hit this a little bit on the other side of the show. But hey, Revolution Church, this is our final week with one service.
Right.
We're going to two services next week. This morning's at 10:15, but next week it's going to be at 9:00 and 11:15. dude, just come as you are.
Right.
Have you not been to church for decades or ever? A lot of people here were in the same boat, but they're here now. You'll fit in fine. Coming out, Revolution Church. Check you on the other side of this break.
You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday. Don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, salinarevolution.com. www.salinarevolution.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff. Was Jesus God? This is an important question for anyone wanting to know whether we should actually worship Jesus.
Colossians 1 says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus."
Fullness is from the Greek word meaning completion or copiousness.
God was pleased to have his fullness, his completion, his copiousness dwell inside of Jesus.
In other words, every attribute that God encompasses, Jesus is too.
Love, grace, power, knowledge, everything.
There really isn't a better way to say it. Colossians basically says, go ahead and worship Jesus because he is everything God is.
That's why when we see people in the Bible like Thomas or the woman with perfume worshiping and honoring Jesus, he's okay with it.
We can give Jesus the same honor we give God the Father.
And that's why Jesus can say, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. John 14.
TruthRevolution.tv. Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we are back.
That's right, with Truth Revolution. And we were just saying before the break that Revolution Church is going to two services next week. So 9 o'clock and 11:15, you can either sleep in or you can get up with the birds.
There you go. So, you got your choice.
Actually, 9 o'clock isn't that early.
It is for me on a Sunday.
Why would you say that? You've been at church since like 8 o'clock every Sunday for the last 5 years.
No, yeah.
He plays bass on a worship team. We have to practice.
I'm just trying to argue.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like to argue. In that case, I don't know what to argue with you. All right, the Denver Broncos stink.
Hey, now.
Actually, aren't they undefeated right now?
They are. But this show isn't about the Broncos. So
well, I'm a Vikings fan, so I'm not going to get into this discussion this time. Ew. All right, so back to religion.
I have to clean your microphone off there for a minute.
We've been discussing whether or not we can prove God doesn't exist. There's an article. Gives 10 reasons not to believe in God. Mm-hmm. We're on number 9 right now. And the author, she has said that over the years and decades, our understanding of the physical world, like through science, has grown and been clarified. And she says that our religion hasn't. It hasn't grown and been clarified.
Right.
Now, we pointed
new
out.
New and improved.
Right. You pointed out. I also pointed out, even if it hasn't been growing and clarifying, that doesn't mean there's no God.
Right.
Even if there's lots of different religions, it doesn't mean there's no God. But here's a point she's missing. It's not true that religion hasn't clarified over time.
Really? Why do you say that?
Well, in the Old Testament, the Jews are fiercely a monotheistic culture. and God revealed himself in his spirit. And they're like, ooh, there's a spirit of God. Mm-hmm. You see this thing in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, it says, let us create man in our own image. Right. Like, and God uses us as for the word for himself. Mm-hmm. They're monotheistic, but God's describing himself as us. What's up with that? Well, you find out in the Old Testament, well, there's this spirit. Then all of a sudden you see God appearing as a man in front of Joshua, like once. And it's like, whoa, what was that about? And then Jesus comes. You get these prophecies, and mm-hmm. then Jesus comes, and you find out Jesus is God, and he prays to the Father. And then later on, you get the church age, and the church age, you get the Holy Spirit, and pretty soon we realize, wow, God's a Trinity. Right. This has been clarified over time.
Yes, I see where you're going with that. And I agree with you that since the dawn of time, since God mm-hmm. created us, he has revealed himself in stages.
Right, you know? We call it progressive revelation.
But has there been any time since Jesus revealed himself to us and we now know that we're under grace. Has there been anything to kind of really kind of revolutionize?
Yeah. Revolutionize Christianity?
Yeah.
Yeah, there has been. There's been multiple times where there have been worldwide revivals or at least revivals in certain areas. But even besides that, in the 1500s, the Catholic Church was the dominant church. Almost everybody who followed Jesus was part of the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And Martin Luther, the great reformer, nailed his 95 theses to the Wittenberg door.
Okay.
And there was this great revolution. And this is where you get Protestant churches, the Lutherans, the Methodists, a lot of these different.
Okay.
Our church, the Anabaptists, come out of that revolution, except we weren't called the reformers. We were part of the Radical Reformation, who said, hey, this Reformation is good, but it's not far enough. It mm-hmm. needs to be more of a Reformation or revolution. And so there's constantly people saying, look, we were doing it wrong. We need to do it better. We need to change. Things have been clarified. We understand things better. The printing of the Bible into the common language was a huge time around that Reformation.
Okay.
When people started to realize we can't do things like we used to because I understand God now. It's been clarified.
Right. Okay. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
So she's not really.
See what happens when you ask questions.
Yeah. And now see, if you study church history, just a little bit, if you know a little bit about Martin Luther, 95 Theses, you would know when you get an objection like, religion's never improved. Well, wait a minute. What were those 95 Theses?
Right.
You know, you just need to know a little bit to know that that's not accurate.
Right.
So we shouldn't fear questions if you're a Christian. If you're a skeptic, you shouldn't fear questions either. Well, you should ask them, mm-hmm. but you also should see if there's any answers. So, okay, let's do a listener question, and then we're going to come back to answer her final question and be done with this article.
Okay. Got a question. All right, today's listener's question, and by the way, you can send in your questions, truthrevolution.tv, or you can hit us up at questions@truthrevolution.tv.
Yeah, truthrevolution.tv.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good website.
That's right. A listener, Clayton, asks, there are some decent arguments for the existence of God. I don't think the ontological argument is one of them. I agree with the perfect island criticism that the ontological argument is circular reasoning that could prove the existence of anything.
Okay.
Okay.
And that was in response to a truth shot we posted last
yes.
week. And we're going to talk about the ontological argument. So we're going to spend the next 9 weeks discussing this.
Yikes.
Not really.
9 weeks of the ontological argument.
We could, but we won't, I promise. Okay, Clayton, you certainly aren't alone in disagreeing with the ontological mm-hmm. argument. A few years ago, I asked one of my old grad school profs for a little help on it, and he basically said, I don't get it or like it.
so there you go.
So the ontological argument, a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people don't even get it. A lot of people think it's not good. So I appreciate the question. Thank you. But the argument, though, you know, you mentioned that it was you think it was circular based on the perfect island criticism. I don't think this is a circular argument. You know, Descartes, Alvin Plantinga both count this as valid. I'm forced to look at it more clearly because really smart guys mm-hmm. think it's important. So the circular argument often centers around believing that there's a reverse leap from conception to existence. When we're talking about the existence of God, like, I can conceive of God, therefore he must exist. That's what they think we're saying.
Right, it's a grand leap.
Right, but that's not really what the argument is doing. The ontological argument doesn't say, hey, I think God exists, so he must. Here's what I mean. Here's circular reasoning, okay? Number one, if I'm alive, I have to have a bike. Number two, I'm already alive. Therefore, number three, I have a bike.
Yes!
That's circular reasoning.
That's awesome.
And it's not true.
Oh.
But premise one, we know is not true. If I'm alive, I have to have a bike. We know that's not true. But you have to look at the ontological argument because it really defines what a necessary being is. The ontological argument says, number one, God is a necessary being.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yes.
Number two, it's logically necessary to affirm what is necessary to the concept of a necessary being. In other words, you can't say, well, he's necessary. We need him for our existence. But he'd have to be this way in order to be necessary. But I don't want him to be that way, so he's not going to be. No, if he's necessary for our existence, then whatever has to be for him to exist, that has to be true.
That's what he is. Right.
And so, number three, existence is logically necessary for the concept of a necessary being. In other words, you can't have a being who's necessary for existence who doesn't actually exist. Number four, therefore, a necessary being necessarily exists. Now, I know most people right now, they're like holding onto their hats because their heads are going.
Yeah, but really, honestly, I think I almost had it.
You think you almost had it?
Almost.
Night. Okay, let me give you an analogy.
Okay.
We did a show on this once. The analogy goes like this. Take water pipes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Water pipes, by definition, carry water in a pipe.
Right.
Number two, it's logically necessary to affirm what is necessary to the concept of carrying water in a pipe. Okay.
Right.
Like whatever it takes to carry water in a pipe, that has to be true if water pipes are true. Number three, space for water to flow is logically necessary to the concept of carrying water in a pipe.
Right.
Therefore, a water pipe necessarily has space for water to flow.
Right.
So you see, by acknowledging, hey, if there were such a thing as water pipes, we're forced to also conclude that water pipes would have space for water.
Right. Because
that's not circular reasoning. The existence of God is analogous to the space in the water pipes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not circular to say that, hey, God's existence is necessary, so he must exist. It's just part of recognizing that any being who carries necessary existence must actually exist.
A water pipe without space for water to flow is just a chunk of stuff.
Exactly. And a God without actually existing wouldn't actually be a God.
There you go.
And so, yeah.
I think.
Now, he talks about a perfect island analogy. That people say, well, I can conceive of a perfect island. And it would be necessary for a perfect island to exist, and it would have this many trees and that, and because I conceive of the island has just the right number of trees, it must exist. But that's different.
Right.
An island doesn't have to exist. I can conceive of a universe where a perfect island does not need to exist.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot conceive of a universe where a necessary being doesn't necessarily exist.
Right.
So, all right, okay. That is the answer for our really deep question today.
I got a question.
All right.
I'm sorry.
All right.
We lost like 2/3 of people right there, and that's okay.
Well, you just about lost me. I almost put my headphones down and walked out the door.
He passed out. He walked out the door.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that somebody during the radio show. Dave just left.
All right. We are on the final question or the final point of the argument that this woman makes in her article.
Okay.
Why God doesn't exist, or we can prove that God doesn't exist. And number 10, and this is funny, the complete lack of solid evidence for God's existence.
Wait a minute.
She says,
wait. Did she say there was a complete lack of solid evidence?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, that's fine.
She doesn't listen to our show, obviously.
She's not a fan of Truth Revolution.
Right. All right. Well, she says, this is probably the best argument I have against God's existence. There's no evidence for it. No good evidence, anyway. No evidence that doesn't just amount to opinion and tradition and confirmation bias and all the other stuff I've been talking about.
Man.
No evidence that doesn't fall apart upon close examination.
I'm only going to answer this one question with a website address. www.truthrevolution.tv.
There you go.
The teleological argument, the cosmological argument, the ontological argument, if you can wrap your mind around it, all kinds of other stuff, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all point, prophecy, these all point to the existence of God. Just go to our website, search out the existence of God. This is not about tradition.
Right.
This is not about opinion.
And real quick, it would be one thing if only a couple of these were true. Right?
That's right. But there's a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Now, thanks for joining us today. Get out to Revolution Church 10:15 this morning. But next week, 9 o'clock and 11:15.
Two services.
Go to two services. Man, there's people just like you at Revolution Church. Just come however you are right now. You're not going to find judgment. You're going to find mercy here.
Amen.
Revolution Church and Truth Revolution. Have a great week. See you next week.